seat in the front pew over there. Relax over there.
Vicki, you can stretch out in the front, have a seat in the front pew over there. Relax here this morning. Today, I ain't going to preach a long time today. Today is congregation participation sermon morning. Yep, I love it when you start out a sermon, people are thinking, uh-oh. Hebrews, 13th chapter, in the 8th verse. I want to read it for you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who've been occupied with them. I'm going to read it again, in case you didn't get it the first time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which you have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today, and just open our minds and hearts for just a few moments, God, so we receive that truth you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. 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 I was so impressed last week with Brother Matt. I thought he just a fabulous job. It just tickles me when I see people that have grown in the Lord. I thought he did a marvelous job, and I told him it's exciting trip that he is on. One that if everything works out, you will find out some exciting events on that trip that he is on. This morning, I have a title for the sermon that I came up. I had all these notes, different things. This morning, the title of the sermon is Hunter Gets His License. Oh, this should be good, shouldn't it? The title of the sermon is Hunter Gets His License. This morning I was receiving pictures. I've never gotten a picture of somebody the back of their head as they're driving. That's the first picture I got this morning. Here I am, I look at my phone, and a lot of times I'll get text on Sunday morning, prayer requests, different people tell me, Charles, I'm not going to be there. The first picture I get is the back of his head. And I was so excited to get that because I know that this is an exciting day for him. John was telling me this is the first real trip he has taken, the first time out there. Now, the way we're going to begin this is I'm going to ask you, before you hit nap time, I'm going to ask you to reach back in your mind and think about the first car you ever had. Okay? Brother Herbie, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
What was the first car you ever had, Brother Herbie?
That'd be a Ford.
1954 Ford. All right, somebody wave at me. Wave. I want to hear from you. I want to hear. Come on, Barbara. I see Barbara's hand back there.
My parents gave me their old Chrysler New Yorker station wagon. The thing was a mile long, huge, gigantic.
Wow. It weighed a pound or two, didn't it, buddy?
My first car was a 51 Ford, which I bought from Herbie Ford.
Oh, Giddy.
You got your learner's permit today, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to share my learner's permit story because I was so nervous that in those days when you had to park, you had to have a pole in the back and a pole in the front, and you had to put your car inside the pole. I knocked both poles over.
And she hasn't gotten much better. So, Brother Ford over there. Brother Ford over there, tell me about your first car.
Well, it should have been a Ford.
Yeah.
But.
But instead, I bought a 1951 Buick.
'51 Buick over there. Who was it, Sherry
Ann? Yeah, I had a 1963 Pontiac Le Mans.
Oh.
Black interior.
Wow, wow, wow. All right, Rick.
I had a 64 GTO.
Oh, oh, oh.
And somebody liked it so much, they stole it.
They
stole
it. Who is that? Mabel back there? Who's got their hand up?
1965 Mustang.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Who was it in here, Jan?
I had a 1953 Chevy.
Ah.
No,
we're not going to get that. We're not going to go down there. We've had enough fighting going on in the church already from Mike and Debbie back there. Here's what I want to do. Who's got? Craig. Okay, Craig.
54 Pontiac.
$100. Whoa. How many of those cars, I want to ask you this question. What's that thing they had in it? It was a pedal over to the left side.
Clutch.
Clutch. Remember those things? You had a clutch. How many of you had your first car being automatic? Good. You're lucky. You're lucky because most of the ones that I had back then, they either had a shift down the floor or remember that one it had on the column over there? You go, you're like this, and you come back down on doing it. Think about your first car. Or think about the car that you learned how to drive in. Most likely, not your first car. You know, it might have been a 1960 Chevrolet with them little fins in the back like that going down. It might have been a pickup, but no. I was fortunate enough. I got to learn how to drive in a 1946 Willys Jeep up on the mountains, on the hillside. And the wonderful thing about this vehicle had no brakes. My father says, if you cannot find a tree to run into to stop you, shame on you. But each one of you, if I went around, I asked you, and you thought about the first car you had, or the first one you learned how to drive in, or the first individual that helped you learn how to drive, whether you knocked down poles as you were doing, or have it worked out for you, you'll think about each and every one of us have a different story to tell. Each one of us, if I was to ask you, you can go back and you'd be able to tell me and you'd be able to describe things and it would just smile. When I was on Friday night, I was so excited about the group coming, and it was a perfect first concert of the year, and these guys just such energy and everybody just seemed to love it. And we got to go to IHOP later and they were talking about the first televisions that folks had and the different channels they got, and everybody has a different story to tell. Sometimes I get a little, you know, I get looking at myself and I think about sermons, I'm thinking about sharing. Sometimes I wonder, with so many people coming from so many different backgrounds, and I was so impressed last week with Matt, how he was able to bring things in and share and just seem so much more relaxed in the pulpit. Sometimes I wonder, well, am I able to relate to so many different people? Then I open my Bible up and I read Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, it's the message that relates to people. I stood here before the service. I was telling Mike this morning. I was here in front of the organ, and Terry was sitting there, and Cousin Rick was over here, and that lady came out, and she came up to her, and she says, "Guys, I just want to tell you. I had a wonderful little lady that came to me to the concerts, and she went into the hospital. And in the hospital, she looked at me and asked me, am I going to die? She said, well, I really don't know. She said, but she asked the question, but if you die, will you see Jesus? And she responded, yes, I will. She said, did you ask him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? And she said, yes, I did. Now that lady went on to be with the Lord. She was not here on Friday night. But the lady who gave up and gave that testimony before we started the concert, she says, I know without a shadow of a doubt that she is in heaven today because of the gospel message she heard presented at your concerts. Wow. Wow. That's the way you want to begin a concert. I know that some of the things that I will share, you know, just, well, that doesn't really apply to me. Sometimes it's just not about you. Maybe it's about somebody else that needs to hear something. Back years ago, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a young German theologian who stood up against Hitler and paid the ultimate price for it. But he made this statement. He said, when you read the Bible, you must read it in a way that you realize that God is speaking to you. Boy, I like that. When I read the Bible, these words here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is speaking to me. Guess what? He's speaking to you too. When you read that Bible and you start to share these things and they start to get into your heart. On Wednesday night, we're going to have this wonderful discussion. I love the way that the title, what is the title on the chapter on Wednesday night? Help me, it's in the bulletin, Hattie. What drives your life? We're on this driving theme today. You get that? We're on that driving theme today. What drives your life? The chapter talks about things. It talks about people who are only interested in material things. They're interested in popularity. They're interested in things that simply don't last. But in looking through God's Word, we find out about meaning of life, about focus of life. We start to better understand what drives our life. Second part of this verse, it talks about don't be carried away. Trust me, folks, if you'll talk to people much, you will find every opinion, every strange doctrine there is. They will tell you what they think. Well, I just don't believe God would do. Well, I just don't believe. Well, I just... And I love the writer who says, there is a God, and He is not you. There is a God. But He is not you. Because what I want to stand upon, what I want to base my faith upon, is what is written in God's Word. It's the truth. Trust me, it says later in this verse, not with foods which have profited those who've been occupied with them. I've eaten a lot of foods that have not profited me. Didn't hear many amens. Some of you should be out there with me. Amen. I'm just like other folks in our congregation. Whether you're doing points, whether you're doing whether you've got a regiment, whether you're doing, you know, you're doing something that God lays upon your heart. Trust me, I'm seeing the results. Amen. Amen. I see it in others more than myself. But I'm here to tell you that you got to find something that you believe in, something that you stand in, and something which is the truth. When I was young, boy, I heard everything. I heard one time in church come in and somebody's laughing and said, did you hear what they had on television? They had a preacher who sold a fat rope. That's not very political these days, but that's what's sold. You take this rope, it was blessed, and if you tied it around you, and you had to send in money first to get this rope and all, you know, you send this money and they send this rope, put it around, you're supposed to lose weight. I'm here to tell you the same thing I tell myself. You place one hand against the table, the other hand against the table, and you push away. That's how you lose weight. It's the truth. Now, maybe I'm just preaching to myself. I know I'm meddling right now, but trust me, folks, that's the thing that I am dealing with, because I hate to go to my doctor who is young, who is so thin, and says, Mr. Wood, 260 pounds is not your ideal weight. Tell me something I don't know. And it's only through choices that I will make that will make a difference in my life. You want to get closer to God? You get in His Word. You want to see a life changed? You stop putting the focus on yourself and you say, God, how can you use me to further your kingdom? Wow. I know I like to pick on family because I figured God, that's why they sent them. That's what I always think. Today, before I close, I got to help a young man out on his first driving experience. I wrapped this myself. Hunter, I hope you'll accept our apologies for using you as the sermon title today. Years ago, when I played baseball, I had two positions I played. Yeah. Come on, damn it. I had two positions I played. I pitched from the mound, and when I wasn't pitching, I went and played first base. I always wanted a first baseman's mitt. Never had one. It's okay. Didn't work out that way. To see folks that come into church, and I know that, folks, you could do most anything you want to this Sunday morning. You can get at home. You can turn those many channels you have on the television. You can go out and sit in your car. My car is more entertaining than my first television ever was. It's got so many bells and whistles on it. I doubt if I'll ever use 75% of the things it'll do. You can stay at home, play video games. Or Hunter, you can come to church. And you can be around people who care for you, going to pray for you. People that you can share good things that are happening in your life, and people going to share and pray for you when things are challenging. I was so excited on Friday night to hear that group. I was so excited to hear that testimony before the service began. Folks, I think this is what church ought to be about. It ought to be about you coming in and just fitting in. So many times in my life, I felt like, hey, I didn't quite fit in. Trust me, if you made up and you put it in here, you want to have a path. No, he's too loud. He talks too much. You know, he should have a different personality. Oh, he just, God will take care of it, friends. God will take care of the needs that you have in your life. If you will simply open your heart and allow Him to lead, to guide, and direct. As we were talking to Charles Simmons back in the room today, it thrilled my heart because this is a man who came into Mount Calvary with questions. But those questions were answered by God. By God. God was able to use Brother Mike back there to give that plan of salvation, and I love it. I love it. And this morning, in his voice, you could hear, and towards, we only talked for a minute or two, and at the end, Mike will tell you, his voice started to break up a little bit. Because it means so much to him. This church, and I thank each one of us to take it so preciously. And thank God for what he's given us here. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, in just a moment, we're going to partake of communion. It's a time where we thank you, God, for what you have done for us. We ask now that you'll bless this small wafer representing the body which is broken, this small cup of juice representing the blood was shed. And God, let us do this. Let us do this in remembrance of you and thanking you for sending your son to die upon a cross to save us, God, to save us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, Amen.